It is 7:31, and we're having a special Sunday morning edition of Community Forum, and we are very lucky to have with us live in the studios this morning Rich Anderson Connolly, who is with Initiative 318, the Instant Runoff Voting Initiative, and Joe Swaya is back with us. He is also with Initiative 318 and also with the Green Party of Seattle. Thank you both for coming in this morning.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks for having us.
Let's begin with talking about instant runoff voting itself. What exactly is instant runoff voting?
Yes, instant runoff voting is it's also called ranked or preference voting. It's a way of voting where you don't just get to vote for one candidate, and that's the only way you express your preferences. You get to rank order as many candidates as you want, and you would rank them first, second, third, fourth, and so on, stopping at whatever point you would want. The way so that leads to a ballot redesign. So one change is a new ballot. You must have more than one column to rank first, second, third, and so on. The other change is how votes get counted. And under our current system, we have a plurality system. You know, you vote for one candidate, the candidate has the most votes in just one round wins. That may be 30, 40, sometimes over 50%, but it's certainly not necessary. Voting is done, we have a winner. Under IRV, you don't stop in the first round unless you actually have majority rule. It's a majority rule voting system. So you would look for everybody's first preference votes. If one candidate has more than 50%, it's over, you have a winner. If you don't, this is where the changes begin. You would knock out the candidate who has the lowest number of votes. Candidate comes in last, gets knocked out. But now what you do in the next round of counting is you redistribute those votes to those voters' second choices, which could be distributed across a number of different candidates, and then you add them up again. And then you see, do we have a majority? If so, we're done. If not, knock out the next person in lowest to the remaining candidates, and so on. Another way to think about this is that in every round of counting, you look at the voter's highest-ranked candidate that's still in the race. So everybody's vote counts in every round. It's just you're going to get your highest preference. This leads to a couple of nice things. One is majority rule. The other is no spoiling. The most likely scenario where this would be used is you would vote for, say, a minor party, a third-party candidate first, and then either a Democrat or Republican, depending upon your leaning, second. If your third-party candidate gets knocked out in that first round, your vote doesn't disappear. It just transfers now to the Democrat or the Republican. So you can vote for the person you really like without spoiling and helping to bring in the person you really don't want to see in power.
Right. I mean, I think one of the things we talk about, Mike, is that it actually changes really the spirit with which people may go to the polls. You can vote your hopes rather than your fears. It's a great advantage of IRV.
It could. It sounds like it could really revolutionize voting in this country.
I think so. I think together with a lot of other voter reforms, which are obviously also necessary, taking the money out of politics and giving more access to the media to all the candidates and parties, I think this could really give smaller parties, and our coalition involves a lot of parties, not only the Green Party, but also the Reform Party, Libertarians, American Heritage, many independents, many disaffected Democrats working with Kucinich are working on our coalition. These are all folks who have been shut out of the system in various ways. IRV can open up the system and allow third parties to play the role they have often historically, which is to reinvigorate or rejuvenate our system with new ideas and new strategies to make our country better.
I think it would be a major reform. I think one of the big differences between our country and the democracies throughout at least Western Europe is that they all have more modern voting systems. In fact, a lot of them use proportional representation, which a lot of us, this is not our current initiative, but that may be the next step. Unfortunately, proportional representation requires multi-member districts, which currently the federal government blocks, at least in terms of, say, the House of Representatives. But we think that, yeah, I mean, one of the reasons why it seems that democratic discourse and often policies are better in Europe is not, I think, because Europeans are smarter, or although they may be, but it's because they vote better. They have more democratic institutions. The interests and the values of the people are better reflected in their parliaments, in their legislatures. So we think it actually could be a tremendous change, and this would be the beginning, and then we would get other things, we would hope, campaign finance reform, proportional representation, do something perhaps about the Electoral College one of these years and so forth. But yeah, we feel this is the beginning of a rejuvenation of American democracy.
Now, where currently is IRV being used?
Well, it's being used, as I said, most of them actually use proportional representation, most advanced democracies, which is even more advanced. We can't do that all in one step. But a couple of the English-speaking countries use it. Australia uses it. Ireland uses it. England uses it, though I believe it's only for city government. London, the mayor of London, for instance, was recently elected, Ken Livingstone, using IRV. And then within the U.S., it's also used in a few cities here. It's been used in Cambridge, Massachusetts for many decades. And then Oakland and San Francisco have just recently enacted it.
Another point is that in addition to those cities that Rich mentioned, it's used in a lot of institutions throughout the U.S. Actually, the U.S. Political Science Association, the folks that supposedly know most about politics and study it, they use IRV in their own voting systems because they know that is a much more precise way of measuring voter preferences. Also, it's used in the Academy Award nominations and for baseball, for the Most Valuable Player nomination. And lots of people around the U.S. Used it at the turn of the century until the big parties got rid of it in the 20s. Right here in Washington, the people of Vancouver, Washington, have voted that they want to use it in their own city, but they can't under current state law. So this initiative would go to the legislature and ask them to either enact it, amend it, or to turn it over to the voters. And this would take place next year in Washington for all state elections and federal elections in Washington.
And that's a great point. And another place where it's really taking off is at universities for school government. And in fact, University of Washington uses instant runoff voting. It's used at Stanford, MIT, Harvard, Minnesota, Wisconsin, I think Whitman here in Washington, a lot of so it's really taking off there. And so we feel that it's really up and coming. I mean, it's making a comeback. As Joe said, it's actually been used before, but it's coming back with a vengeance. And we feel that the next few years it's going to win one of these states. We're hoping Washington will be the first, but it's going to win in one state. It's going to win in local governments. It's just a more modern, better way of voting, and we feel, you know, the time has come.
Okay, so you touched on one of the questions I was going to ask, which was, why take this to the state level? Why not start out small and choose like a city or a county? But it sounds like you have to take it to the state
right.
level.
Right. Good point, Mike. We have tried. In fact, as I said, the people of Vancouver and other cities have said they want it, and the state legislature simply doesn't allow it. Now, we've also been lobbying very hard the last few years. The Green Party and many other groups have been trying to get IRV. And although there's been bipartisan support, I think the major parties have felt that they've got a lot to lose. Right now, both of them a lot of times kind of have you in a corner. There's no other option. So I think that we've felt the need as a result to take it to the people and really educate folks and, you know, work for this deepening of our democracy from the bottom up.
Yeah, what our group has worked on for the last couple of years is simply to allow the Washington State Legislature to allow Vancouver, Washington, to do what their citizens said they want to do, which is use IRV. But it's blocked. The way the state charter establishes cities, you can't use IRV. And so we were just looking for, you know, kind of a special dispensation, I guess you might say, so that Vancouver could do what their citizens said. And even that, our state legislature wouldn't give us. Really is really going against the wishes of the people of Vancouver. They said they'd like to do it, and the state wouldn't let them. So we kind of felt that at some point we were meeting quite a bit of resistance. And I mean, we do have, it's actually true that we do have a number of allies in the legislature, but we couldn't quite, we felt, get over that hurdle of approval, and so we had to attempt an initiative, we felt.
Now, it sounds like that this was actually at one point in time used much more across the U.S., and it was the Democrats and Republicans that nixed it?
Very much so, yes.
So they're probably working against you now as we speak.
Well, I don't want to say all of them are, because we have people from a broad range of parties, including Democrats and Republicans, working in our coalition. And in the legislature, we've had a number of people who supported it as well. But I do think that the higher up you go in the parties, you know, the big money tends to control. And I think in many cases, both those parties have felt, well, it's, you know, we want to have it, so there's no other option. So you have to vote for us, you know. Otherwise, something even that you even fear more will happen. So they, you know, it's really have a fear-based politics right now. That's, you know, duopoly of, you know, dollar-driven duopoly of the big parties. And so, yeah, I think we need the grassroots people in those parties and other parties and independents to push for change, and that's what Initiative I-318 is.
Yeah, there's a wide spectrum of views within each party, and we find that a lot of people in the parties who believe in democracy see this as the right thing, you know, little democracy. This is the right thing to do. But there are those, perhaps in the center of each party, who you know, almost prefer each other to any of the outsiders. You know, there it seems to be some Democrats who'd rather lose to Republican than let a Green get in, or Republicans with their Libertarians. So so we have allies, but, you know, the center holds, especially, as Joe said, with money. The money kind of holds the center together. So that's really what we're fighting. But we do have allies across the entire political spectrum. And so we're thinking that, you know, there'll be enough of us to get this passed.
And in fact, recently in this state, they just changed, I believe, our primary to a degree to further strengthen the Democrats and Republicans.
Right. The way I think a lot of people may not be aware yet, Mike, that what's happened as a result of the court ruling is the so-called Montana primary. What's going to happen now is that people are not going to be able to vote outside of one particular party when they go to the polls in a primary. They're going to have to request Republican or Democratic ballot. And they're going to have to vote a straight ticket. And I think when people realize that, they're going to, you know, many of them are going to turn to IRV and realize that this is a far more effective system because, you know, you can vote for different parties, you can rank your choices. It avoids the costly expense of a primary, where if you think about it now, we're really paying as taxpayers for the Democratic and Republican narrowing down process. So, yeah, that new system is going to really lock people in. IRV allows for many more voices and choices, and so that's why we think it's a better system.
There are really three primaries that are currently out there. There's the Montana, which is the current law, but then the Grange Initiative, which is modeled, this modified Louisiana primary, you might say, which is you can vote however you want in the primary, then the top two make it to the general election regardless of party. That is an initiative which has, we think, received enough signatures, and so will be on the ballot in November. And then there's ours, which is IRV. So there are really three games out there, and almost any way you want to look at it, IRV is a superior system in terms of being more democratic, giving voters choice, saving money, ending the spoiling problem, no wasted votes. So what we are trying to do, and since we don't have the money to compete with lobbyists or the Grange, is we're trying to let people be aware that there are really three systems out there. If you don't like the Montana, which is the current law, you don't have to necessarily go to the Grange, this modified Louisiana, because that is really going to kill third parties, because you can vote however you want in the primary, but only the top two make it to the general election. There will very rarely be a third party when people go to the general election, which is actually when most people vote. Primaries tend to have very low turnout, and so you're going to have a small segment of our population putting the final two candidates on the ballot. Third parties will hardly make it. It's going to be a Democrat and Republican almost every race. Maybe in Seattle it'll be two Democrats. Maybe in Spokane it'll be two Republicans. But third parties will really be squeezed out. And so we hope that if people are upset with Montana, you don't necessarily go to the Grange Initiative, this Louisiana, but think about IRV, and that's really going to give you everything you want, right? It's going to not spoil the two parties, but it's going to allow you to vote your hearts, as Joe said.
Another important difference between our initiative and that of the Grange is the Grange had paid signature gatherers. We're all volunteer, Mike. We're a totally grassroots campaign. I think that's very important because I think that many people have become alienated with the initiatives, you know, being put forth by paid petition gatherers. So, yeah, that's an important distinction between our initiative and that of the Grange.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the Grange? I mean, when I hear the words the Grange, I assume it's a place I go to buy my feed.
Well, I don't know terribly much about the Grange, but one thing that I think is interesting is that the Grange in some states is would be much more progressive. That is, in Vermont, for instance, the Grange of Vermont was behind their IRV initiative and drive there. And as it turns out, the Grange here has been hijacked by more centrist interests. And we don't feel necessarily they have the interest of the entire spectrum, political spectrum, in mind. We believe that for whatever reason in Washington, the Grange is more interested in squeezing out third parties and strengthening the duopoly, which is moving us away from democracy. So I don't know exactly the internal politics, how this came about in Grange. They have a lot of money behind them, and that obviously would probably drive them toward the center politically as well. However it happened, we're not sure, but it's not always true that the Grange is this sort of conservative force. For instance, Vermont, they were offering a very progressive package.
And they have a progressive history in, years ago in Washington and other states as well. But we're not disagreeing with the Grange as generally, but just in this particular case on this, because their system that they're advocating would only narrow it down to the top two, and that's going to be the big money people, the major parties, and we want to open it up.
So the Louisiana proposal, that's an initiative as well?
That is the Grange. The Grange took their system or modified the Louisiana system. This is how they vote in Louisiana. They have a top two. There's a runoff, then you have the top two for the final election. And that's essentially what our system would be. The primary would be open. You can vote for whomever you like. The top two vote gatherers go to the final general election, and then you vote there. So it's called, it's maybe modified Louisiana style, something like that. But they're the same thing. The Grange Initiative, Louisiana, and I-872, those all refer to the same thing.
Okay, and is that something that's going to be voted on? Is it going to be voted on by the people, the legislature, what?
That will be on the ballot in November. Okay. Because they needed to get about 200,000 signatures, and they were paying for them, and they seem to have them. So it will be on the ballot.
But your initiative is going to the legislature. Is that correct?
That's right. It's an initiative to the legislature, which means by law that the legislature has to either enact it as it is written, amend it, or turn it over to the voters. And if we get the requisite signatures, and I want to talk in a minute about how people can help to do that, it would come up next year and take effect next year.
Okay. So, and potentially it could, the legislature could support the Initiative 872, the Louisiana initiative, and then later they could support your initiative, potentially.
That's what we're hoping.
That's right.
All right. So how do people get involved with Initiative 318, the instant runoff voting initiative?
Well, Mike, there's a number of ways. I guess maybe one of the first steps might be to check our website. It's www.irvwa, that's W-A for Washington, .org. And that's got a lot of information about how to get involved. We are getting petitions, thousands of petitions. We need to get 200,000, and so it's a grassroots effort. Imagine without paying people, it requires a lot of shoe leather. So we're asking folks to go to the website, learn a little bit more about it. There's a great flash animation demonstration of how IRV works. And via the website, you can get petitions and you just get your friends and neighbors to sign them. You have to be a registered Washington voter. It's a good opportunity to also encourage people to register to vote, which is important as well. If folks want more information, actually talk to a person, they can call me at area code 206-523-3278, and we're doing all kinds of things to promote IRV. One of those things are house parties, and we actually have a house party today at my house, and I'd like to invite the listeners to come because Rob Ritchie, who's a real expert on IRV and voting systems in general for the Center for Voting and Democracy, he'll be talking at my place from 2 till 4 this afternoon, and we're going to have some refreshments and talk about IRV and really talk about how we can make the system work here in Washington. The address is 2021 Northeast 75th Street. That's 2021 Northeast 75th from 2 to 4 today, Sunday. And that's in the Ravenna neighborhood. So that's a way for people to learn more about it. And if they so choose to get more involved, it's actually, really empowering to get involved in these kinds of democratic efforts. You can have a house party, invite your friends, and really be part of deepening our democracy. So these are some of the ways people can get involved, Mike.
And to follow up on Rob Ritchie and the Center for Voting and Democracy, they have an excellent website, as Joe mentioned. They are probably the premier think tank on all matters electoral and voting. And their address is www.fairvote.org, fairvote, one word, .org. And they have all sorts of studies and research and international comparisons of instant runoff voting, proportional representation, choice voting, you name it. So it's a great outfit. And if you're curious about this, you want to know more about how it works, definitely go check out fairvote.org. And if you want to actually meet Rob Ritchie, who's the founder and executive director of the Center for Voting and Democracy, then head on over to Joe's at 2 o'clock.
And Mike, I wanted to give a little bit of a historical perspective, if I could. I teach history, and I think, you know, sometimes in the history books, it's forgotten the role of so-called third parties, or some might even argue nowadays we need a second party. But, I mean, if you think about it, the parties that have not been in the mainstream have been, in so many cases, the force that put forward new ideas which have really made our country better. I'm talking about very seminal, crucial things like women's suffrage, the ending of slavery, all those New Deal reforms, including Social Security, unemployment insurance, you know, the Wagner Act, collective bargaining, the right to unionize, an eight-hour day. These are huge advances that we all take for granted now. And none of those were advanced by the major parties. They were adopted by the major parties, but only after parties outside the mainstream put them forward, generated grassroots pressure, and then later the major parties were forced to adopt them. So that has been the role of third parties historically in the U.S., but right now, because of many reasons, including big money, the way that elections are structured, it makes it very, very difficult for third parties like the Greens or the Reform Libertarians and others to get their ideas out. IRV is only part of a reform package, but it would make a big difference, in terms of parties who are not dominated by big money to get out our ideas and make our country better.
Yeah, I just was watching last week, I believe, the results of the Canadian elections.
Yes.
And they have like three parties up there. And I was just like kicking myself going, gosh, wouldn't it be great if we even had three parties in this country?
Yes. Or maybe even two.
Yeah.
I know a lot of the listeners may have listened to the debate between Ralph Nader and Howard Dean the other day. And one of the positive things about the debate was it was mentioned many times by both of those folks. And they both support IRV. John Anderson, former presidential candidate, who was actually going to come here, but he got ill. He was in the audience and talked about IRV, and it really is a way to open up our system to more voices and choices. So, and we can be part of that, Mike, historically. We can really play a historic role here in Washington. I mean, we're the people that shut down the WTO. We made history there, and we can do the same thing here with being the first state to have IRV. Again, I want to refer people to the website, www.irvwa.org.
And I think that's a great point about other voices. Even if you are committed to a particular party, you probably want to hear other voices. I think it's good for our culture, our political discourse. If you're on the left, it's still good to hear what the libertarians have to say, or the reform, or, you know, wherever. So, I don't think we should be afraid of more voices in our debate, even if you feel you know what your values are. I think this is, in fact, as Joe pointed out, how our society progresses. We have different ideas coming in. We debate them, discuss them, and then we move forward. If you narrow down those voices, it's like an unhealthy ecosystem. Right? You can't just have the two species. So even if you think you like one party, you probably want to hear others. I know I do. I mean, I'm on the left, but I would love it if the Libertarians or the Reform or anybody else could be in the presidential debate, or, you know, people could, if they wanted to, rank them first and rank some other party second. I think this is just healthy for our culture. I think our political culture is stagnating because of the two parties and the money that forces the leadership of the two parties ever closer to this corporate center.
And it would also, I think, to follow up on Rich's point, IRV, where it's been used, it's shown that it tends to lead to more of a respectful dialogue and less negative campaigning, because under IRV, it matters a lot how you vote, number two and number three. So parties have to think about, well, even if this voter doesn't vote for me number one, I want them to vote for me number two, number three. Maybe I have to listen to their ideas, their platforms, and you have more respectful cross-pollination of ideas. Right now you have people, you know, yelling at Ralph Nader not to run. Now, you know, I'm not supporting Ralph Nader this time, but he's a great American. He's contributed so much to this country. What kind of a system do we have where the system leads folks to scream at him not to run? I mean, I think under IRV, you know, we would say, well, Ralph Nader's got great ideas that he can bring to the debate, whether you vote for him or not, right? So, I mean, this is a system that can allow ideas to be expressed and to percolate, cross-pollinate, and that can only make our country better.
Yeah, attacking Nader is really making a structural problem a personal problem. Nader would not be a problem if we had IRV. If we had IRV in Florida, Gore would be president. If we had IRV now, Nader would be no threat to Kerry. In fact, he'd probably help Kerry because he would increase turnout. He's bringing in some people who would not vote, and Kerry would get those votes almost certainly second. So it's really a structural problem that can be fixed very simply by adopting IRV, which has been used elsewhere. And to bash a person, to make this like a particular, you know, Ralph Nader is a megalomaniac or something like that, that just really is, I think, not a very useful diagnosis of the problem. It's a structural problem. We have a very antiquated voting system. Let's fix that. And then, in fact, what you'd see is that what makes sense, the Greens and the Democrats can be allies, not enemies.
Yeah, clearly our system needs a major overhaul structurally. I mean, we present ourselves on our brochure to the rest of the world as being the world's greatest democracy, yet I believe of Western democracies, we have the lowest voter turnout.
Yes.
Continue to head in that direction. So.
Yeah, and we actually think that's related. IRV, along with proportional representation, tend to increase voter turnout. More people get involved because your voice counts. Right? Your vote may, in fact, matter, your second choice or whatever. When your vote really doesn't count, you may, and this is becoming increasingly true, many people, most people, and again, the Center for Voting and Democracy demonstrates this quite clearly, with the gerrymandering of districts, most districts are either completely safe Democrat or completely safe Republican. There are very few districts where it's close. And of course, the parties are designing this way. You know, it's almost like Coke and Pepsi carving up the market and agreeing not to compete in certain places. And so for most people, it really is, I can understand why people don't vote, because what is the point? You know, you're in this district or that district, or maybe it doesn't even matter which one wins, because they're hard to distinguish on many important issues to you. IRV, other reforms would change that. There would be real choices. It would make a difference to your life. You know, democracy should matter. Civic participation can matter. I think it's just a symptom of the fact that our structure is messed up right now, that many people say, what does it matter? It won't affect my life, which unfortunately is true. We need to turn that around before it gets any worse.
All right. Well, we are almost out of time. Once again, would you give the contact info?
So we encourage people to get involved. This is a grassroots campaign. We value everybody's participation. If folks want to get involved in democratizing our system by supporting instant runoff voting, they can do so by checking our website, www.irvwa.org. They can call 206-523-3278, or they can show up at the house party today in Seattle from 2 till 4, today, Sunday, July 11th, at 2021 Northeast 75th Street, to hear Rob Ritchie from the Center for Voting and Democracy.
All right, I like how you put that in. Today's July 11th.
That's right.
Because people listening on the archive might be showing up.
That's right. I don't want them showing up at my house. I mean, they could. But that'd be okay, but you know.
Yeah, you just give them.
They
want
to come to the party. That's right.
All right. Well, I want to thank you both for coming in this morning.
Thank you, Mike, very much.
Thanks for having us.
We've just been talking with Rich Anderson Conley and Joe Swaya, both with the Initiative 318, which is the Instant Runoff Voting Initiative.